Welcome to another episode of Mortgage Matters with the Maya Group. Today's Fun Fact Friday, along with some mortgage tidbits to keep you up to date in the news. Today we have Maya Tran, our fearless leader, Chris Goodman, the guy who keeps it all together, Candace Muncy, our amazing documentation guru queen, who comes with some extra special nuggets today. And of course, you got me, Ange, trying to hold down the hot seat today. So I want to kick it off and let Maya and Chris give you guys some mortgage tidbits. And I've got a couple myself.
Awesome. Are we diving right into the mortgage tidbits, or are we going to go to fun facts first?
I don't know. Maybe let's do fun facts better first. That's more fun. Let's kick it off with some fun stuff.
I think we should put Candace in the hot seat first because she's not on every episode and she's super shy, and this is going to be awesome. So Candace, what is your fun fact you want to share with everybody?
It might be a fun fact, but it also might be an annoyance for most people. Ask my family. So when I was little, I always scored a 98 percentile with reading comprehension. So movie fun fact, I can right now pretty much give you a 90, maybe 95% that I always know, in a thriller or a movie, the plot or what's going to happen or who the killer is.
So you're the spoiler.
Meaning,
I am the spoiler. I try not to talk. I won't talk in a movie theater, but I will definitely talk if we're live streaming from home.
I'm never watching a movie with you ever.
I know.
Never.
Wait, so you watch movies and you retain the plots and then you rewatch them with other people and you don't tell them what happens?
No, this is life. I can predict and already know the outcome of the movie and everything that's happening. I have it's 95%. My husband, Mike, hates it.
Okay, so I'm like that too. When I'm watching thrillers and stuff, I'll always be I'm calling it right now. The killer is the daughter's boyfriend's mom or whatever that is. So
right?
I get that. And you're right 95% of the time.
Yeah. I think
okay.
And if you remember, I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan, so maybe the whodunit always happened back then.
Should we talk about Scooby-Doo really quickly and the moment I had the open mouth insert foot moment?
Uh-oh.
Why? God. What happened?
With you and there. Scooby-Doo, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I feel like we should talk about this. That was such an embarrassing moment for me. Oh. So, I don't think Ange has heard this story, so I'll tell it to Ange and the rest of the audience can hear it. So we're in the car, Ange, and you know me, sometimes I have no idea who I'm about to inadvertently offend. And so we're talking and we pull up on a car and it had some kind of vanity plate, the license plate. And I read it. I was like, how old are we? Who does vanity plates anymore? It's so ridiculous. I had a vanity plate when I was in high school. So I'm going on and on this complete diatribe about how vanity plates are for immature people, young in their life and everything else. And Candace is in the backseat. She just really quietly says, should I get rid of my Scooby-Doo vanity?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Her license plate literally said Scooby-Doo. What were the letters, Candace?
S-Q-U-B-D-U, because I couldn't get the correct spelling.
Somebody beat you to it.
Virginia, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ever since then, whenever Scooby-Doo comes up, we reference that story because Chris, you were there for that story.
I was dying laughing.
He was quiet as a church mouse, though.
He's like,
yep. Well, because I knew it. I'm like, oh, she'll get it eventually.
I was so embarrassed. My jaw, I said, oh, Candace, I'm so sorry. I could not apologize enough. And then she got rid of it and she doesn't have
You didn't. I didn't on the spot. No, I transferred my car and then I couldn't get the license plate back. And I'd had it since I was 16. So to go back to high school, yes, I had it since high school.
I completely vanity license plate shamed her. So Candace, I'm sorry about that.
Hashtag drama.
Oh, hysterical.
It didn't offend.
I know.
And that was years ago. I got rid of it 2021. I couldn't get it back. So yeah.
So you're done seeing a therapist over it?
No. We don't talk and cry about it. It's all right.
We listen and we don't judge.
That's it. Chris, you going to share your fun fact? Well, I'm curious to know what it is.
So my fun fact is I was in the opening and closing ceremonies of the 96 Olympics, like on the field.
What?
And
wait, like the U.S. Olympics or like the your high school Olympics?
Like the World Olympics.
She like said your high school.
The five, like the one with the five colored rings. Those Olympics?
The for real Olympics. Olympics.
Yep.
Wait, you were the opening and oh, they were in Atlanta. That year.
They were. Yep.
What was it like?
Here was the coolest part to me is because huge Braves fan, they tore down Fulton County Stadium to build Turner Field specifically for the Olympics. And I was up in that gym all the time. Well, it was empty. Like in the locker rooms and all that stuff. We got to go backstage to a brand new stadium, the whole nine. It was really cool.
How did you get picked? Like, were you a kid walking down the street? And they're like, yeah, you look good.
They came to our school and they were looking for, it was like 50 kids. And I got selected out of it.
So you were at an age you were still going to school.
I was in fifth grade. Yeah, I was in fifth grade.
Oh, see, I was already graduated from high school, so thank you very much for dating me.
You're very welcome.
Wait, that is so cool. And who were the musical guests that year? Like, did you see some celebrities?
Celine Dion did the opening and Gloria Estefan did the closing.
So you got to do the Congo?
I did not do the Congo. No,
that he doesn't look like the Congo type.
They would have thrown me out if I had tried to do the Congo. But yeah, I mean, I have a box. I still have the costume that I wore, like newspapers. I have like the commemorative pins that they gave all the participants and stuff.
Why have we not seen this?
Hold up. We have a costume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And photographic evidence. Time out.
Here, let me see.
Oh, you're gonna have to send a picture for the social media drop of this episode.
This is a must.
I can do that.
Like, what was the program? I'm dying to know.
What do you mean? What was the program?
Like, what? Like, you were in a costume doing what? Like, I don't like. What was the theme?
Running around, making like shapes on the field, like a dove, and then a 100, and then like a torch. Like, there were a bunch of us out there in different colors. And so they would make, you know, we would make different shapes on the field during the, you know, the athletes weren't coming in when we were out there. We were out there for the very beginning of it. But it was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
That's very cool. That's a really cool story for you to tell when you're, you know, an old man sharing your life stories. That's really cool.
Yep. Yep. So that's my fun fact. What's yours, Ange?
Oh, so I don't know if it's quite that cool. I thought I was coming in with a really baller like fun fact, but it might be slightly subpar, but I still think it's pretty damn cool, at least from my seat. So fun fact for me, I have actually hung out backstage not once, but multiple times with not only the one and only Dave Grohl, but the Foo Fighters.
Multiple oh, very times. Cool.
I said multiple. Yeah.
I know. Are you a groupie?
I am not a groupie. And I was young. Shh. Hopefully it doesn't get them in trouble. I think it's so long ago now. I think we've passed any kind of limitations of anything like that. But yeah, a young 13-year-old who was fortunate enough to have an aunt whose sister married the bassist in the Foo Fighters. So we got the hookup all the time. So we'll throw it way back. HF Festivals, 930 Club, UMBC in Baltimore, like, totally. Those guys are awesome. Wow. Down to earth. It was super cool. I also have photographic evidence to prove that this is not a lie. But yeah, total fun, super impressional when you're young and like, you know, getting to hang out with super celebrities.
Are they still married?
They are still married as far as I know. Yeah. I'll have to confirm. I haven't talked to that.
Oh yeah, because he had a secret kid, right? He had a secret kid.
Dave Grohl. Yes.
Or not a secret. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. But so she, my aunt's sister. So again, that was through marriage. She wasn't like,
right,
my direct aunt. Right. So I know it's like six ways from Kevin Bacon. But anyways, she I believe they are still married. I will fact find that for us for a follow up episode. But yeah, she they were awesome. Bassist in the Foo Fighters, Nate Mendel, Pat Smear was still there. Taylor was still there. So, you know, they've gone through some evolutions, but it was really cool to see some of the original stuff up close and personal.
That's wild. That's all.
Yeah. Make sure you send the picture for that too.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
We need photographic evidence here.
Yes.
Awesome. It's on its way.
That is so cool. I mean, we've known each other a long time, and I'm learning stuff about you guys today that I didn't know. So this is cool. I love this episode. Well, I'm going to share a fun fact about me, and I think maybe one or two of you have heard this about me before. So I think people know that I was a tomboy growing up. So I didn't play with Barbies. I played more with Legos and robotic Legos and things like that. But it was on a whim, and one of my good friends, we're still good friends now. Her name is Christina, and we were friends back when we were in middle school, and she thought it would be a great idea to just, you know, go do a beauty pageant. And I was like, what? I was the most non-girly girl. And we decided to do it with another girlfriend, Jessica. And I was 13 at the time. Or no, I mean, I was 12. And then it led into the time I was 13. Ended up placing in the local, which was up here in Annandale. Then went to states and then went, ended up in nationals in Orlando. It was wild, right? I was learning the wave. We had to do all kinds of different things. And then when we got to nationals, first time on an airplane, I flew with my sister. My parents were working. They couldn't take the time off. So God love my sister. She was my chaperone down to Walt Disney World. And I got really sick, really sick. I mean, I was like in the room and just couldn't move out of bed. So I didn't have a great run at nationals because I was so sick. But my fun fact is that I was a beauty pageant winner and went all the way to nationals when I was young. And I will say I do have photographic evidence. Me and my braces, like in all my glory, my metal mouth glory. So I have that picture. But yeah, so a lot of people don't know that about me.
I love Wild. That. I know the princess wave.
The princess yes. wave. I know it well.
I'm dying that Christina's convinced you to do that. That part I didn't know. I did know about the beauty pageant, but I didn't know it was her that convinced you to do it. That's next level.
It was. It was Christina. And I'll say this. I think I play. So it was progressive for the time. Remember, I'm 48 now. I was 12, 13 at this time. My finalist question, the question for the finalist was, if you could put something in a time capsule for them to find in the future, for, you know, you to change the future, what would you put in the time capsule? Okay. So you have to remember, I was Vietnamese. And I, you know, my answer was, I would put in the definition of racism, hoping to change it in the future. It was super progressive at the time. And I remember as soon as I said it, there was dead silence in the entire auditorium because I didn't know any better, but it wasn't something that was talked about broadly at the time. And I was felt like it was something I was so passionate about. So there was like this long silence in the audience and then an uproar of applause after that. So it was a little progressive at the time.
So you didn't come with a such as and world peace, such as.
Correct. Correct. That's so funny. Anyway. So this was fun to share some fun facts about us. And I think we need to probably talk about mortgage. There's been a lot going on, guys. So, Chris, well, let's kick it over to you on what's happened with interest rates and what's going on. So our audience has some idea of what's happening.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy for the last couple of weeks. You know, last week, whenever the news of new additional tariffs came out, it really kind of spooked a lot of the markets. And you saw that in the stock market and the bond market. And inevitably, what happens when there is economic uncertainty is investors will run to a safe haven, which is traditionally the bond market, which then pushes the yields on those treasury bonds up. Well, that in turn pushes up interest rates on your mortgage. So what we saw last week was really on Friday were the highest rates that we've seen in 2025 to date. And it really had a lot of people spooked. And then following that, a lot of different countries that had tariffs put on them decided, you know, they were going to come to the bargaining table. They were going to talk trade deals. And it really kind of softened investors' fear on what was going to happen in the future and what was going to happen to the U.S. economy if, you know, these trade wars continued. So we've seen a little bit of relief. However, the investors putting out those rates are very hesitant to bring them down to the levels they should be at because of all that uncertainty. So, you know, it's really nobody knows what's going to happen. We can kind of do our best, but, you know, with a lot of uncertainty out there, you know, we're just kind of along for the ride right now and hope that things get better and rates come down over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of clarify that we're talking about short-term volatility that's happening right now. But the long-term outlook is still that rates are expected to come down. I was just at a luncheon that had the CEO of the National Association of Home Builders and actually the CEO of the Virginia Association of Realtors was in the room too, talking about, you know, the pushback of when they, meaning moving the timeline back of when they think interest rates are really going to come down into that regular steady 6% range up or down, you know, give or take. And that's been pushed back now into 2026. So initially it was, you know, maybe second half of 2025, but they really think the economy is a lot more resilient than what anyone had anticipated, right? Want to touch really quickly on what really drove a lot of stuff that happened last Friday when you talked about interest rates peaking in the year. So what we had was our president publicly criticized the Federal Reserve chair, right? So it's President Trump criticizing Jerome Powell and their hesitancy and their cautiousness of not cutting interest rates. Of course, president may have said some other things that we won't talk about here, but it was a public criticism that everyone knows about. And that actually drove a lot of fear. And so that ended up really driving interest rates to the highest level we've seen all year on Friday, which I find to be really interesting, this exchange that happened on Thursday and the immediate impact that had on interest rates. Most of the, you know, guidance that's coming out of the Federal Reserve is that it's cautious and, you know, they're not making any moves anytime soon. So it's frustrating, of course, right? You're sitting in our seat and in housing, it can be frustrating. We want these interest rates to come back down. They have to look at it through a you know, bigger picture and a different lens. And so we can just pray and hope that those rates start coming down soon. But Ange, I think that we want to talk a little bit about some stuff that's shifting on the real estate agent side and listings and different things as well. So we'll kick it over to you to close out our episode.
No, I appreciate that. Just a quick other in other real estate news, I wanted to drop just a tidbit in case anybody missed it. Shout out to our real estate agent partners who do the right thing by their clients day in and day out. But Redfin and Zillow have both come out with a statement and stating that they are firmly not going to co-mingle listings, meaning if you have privately marketed something or initially marketed a property for sale before it has been entered into the MLS, then they're not going to allow that information to go onto their sites because they don't feel that it is fair nor transparent. These are also sometimes referred to as like pocket listings. So sometimes these are going to be the private listings that maybe there is no agent involved, but yet someone has already marketed it maybe personally on their own social media even. So it is that simplistic that if you have in any way semi tried to publicly market, but you've done it on your own and not through one of the real estate portals, they're not going to share that information across the board. So that could significantly reduce your exposure. It could reduce the amount of money you could make on your home, and you may not end up with the right buyer. Again, it kind of goes back with the you don't know what you don't know. So it does, you know, really show the breadth of why a real estate agent is advantageous to use when you're in the market to buy or sell real estate. You really want a professional in your corner to help you navigate those waters. So it's just, you know, it's very interesting to see all of this evolving. I know a lot changed with the real estate agents last year, and we touched on that on an episode previously. So really, I think it is still worth you interviewing your real estate agents, understanding what the value that comes with that and the protections. Again, you don't want to slight yourself on something where you could make some additional money on the sale of your home because you thought you could do it on your own. So it's worth exploring and making sure you've got all the facts before you step out on your own.
Well, so just to make sure that I'm understanding that correctly, before, like if I wanted to do a for sale by owner, I could just go list it in one of these websites. And now what they're saying is you need to have professional representation in order to be seen there.
That's their stance as of right now. And they want it to be in the MLS. They want it across the board. They don't want these, again, they're referring to them as pocket listings where it's not necessarily seen by everyone. So that maybe only a small sliver of population is able to see this particular listing. So they are stating that that's not very transparent, that everybody should have the opportunity to see all possible listings.
That's interesting because some of the big brokerages do exclusives that are just inside their brokerages, and those are private listings and they don't go out public. That's really an interesting concept. But so the appreciate way the update.
Right. And the way I'm understanding that, just as a another quick sidebar, is that it's just that Redfin and Zillow won't allow, you could still do it. It's just that Redfin and Zillow are not going to allow those listings to necessarily hit their pages because they want the full transparency.
Okay. Understood. That's really cool. Thanks for the update on that. You know, we're always trying to keep everybody up to date on current events, on what's happening. And so because Candace is not on every episode, we're going to kick it over to you, Candace, to close this out.
Yes, I know that I definitely had a great time with you guys today. Thank you, everyone, for listening and joining our Maya Group team. And hope that you enjoyed like all the knowledge and the fun facts that we dropped today for you. And hope that you listen on the next episode.
You can find us online at www.themayagroup.com and on all socials at The Maya Group. Thank you.